What are we discussing today?
Ooh.
Can I suggest something?
Yeah, of course.
The art of saying no.
Subhanallah, I was thinking about this yesterday.
Wallahi.
Why?
Because it's I feel like this is the kind of time when like
are
divine.
Are you crying? I see a tear. We haven't started.
I know.
Okay, that's fine.
Because it's like divine intervention really makes a lot of sense, because I had an incident this weekend where learning to say no a bit more clearly should have been my objective.
Oh.
Yeah.
So subhanAllah, I was thinking about this yesterday, because I remember when I was on the Hikmat podcast, there was something that I wanted to say, and I remember thinking it in the moment, and then we got distracted and it went away, and the second I left the studio, I remembered what I wanted to say. And I was thinking about that last night, and it was the art of saying no, because something my dad taught me at a very young age was, what is the value of your yes if you say yes to everything, if you're unable to say no?
Fair.
And that really stuck with me, right? That's what you said.
Exactly, to the point.
Because I think people pleasing fell was something that an umbrella that I fell under when I was younger, wanting
don't we
to be.
All?
No, not everyone.
Most of us, we seek the approval of others. That's why we say yes.
I agree, but there are some kids who swam against the current, and they're quite remarkable. You know, very few. They're literally that diamond in a mine of coal. And as a people pleaser when I was younger, I wanted to say yes to everyone. It was almost on autopilot. You say yes without thinking, right?
Yeah.
And you think it's what you want. You almost lie to yourself and convince yourself that this is what you want and this is what will make you happy. And then obviously, lo and behold, here come the consequences of my actions.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that I'm actually not happy. I'm actually around the wrong people or been taken advantage of or. And then my dad once sat me down and he's like, if you say yes to everything, if you say yes to everyone and your mother, to every Tom, Dick and Harry, what is your yes worth? You're unable to say no.
Okay.
So your yes is worth nothing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now tell me, so it's interesting, I'm seeing the very clear line between yes and no, right? It's a yes and it's a no. But you were saying no more clearly, which is I think something a lot of people fall victim to. They think that they've mustered the courage to say no, and then they find themselves not really saying no. Do you know what I mean?
The gray
it's
zone,
kind of it's like, the gray zones. Yeah,
the gray zones, because what happened was, instead of saying no, I said something along the lines of, I don't want this. And
okay.
But still, somehow, even though there was a clear rejection of the idea, it didn't translate. It was miscommunicated.
Okay, so that brings me, actually, you know what? I'm going to open this, because I saw this yesterday and it made a lot of sense to me. Bismillah, where is she? One of my beautiful newest talent, Smira, Sara's bestie. I saw on her story, she posted, I used to think communication was the key until I realized comprehension is. You can communicate all you want with someone, but if they don't understand you, it's silent chaos.
Oh, amen.
And I thought that was very beautiful, because it took me in a little bit of a rabbit hole in my mind, because comprehension, I understood it to mean multiple things in this case. They truly just do not have the ability to understand you, or they are deliberately refusing to understand you, right? Because you can, in your case, I'm thinking, if you clearly said, I don't want this, I can't imagine the person just being so oblivious to what I don't want this means. That sounds to me more like they deliberately went out of their way to completely disregard what you said, and they they're refusing to comprehend. It's an intentional unwillingness to understand you.
That's true. So no matter how fair enough or how well you communicate, then how do you, even then, you can't control other people's comprehension. Like, if they're refusing to comprehend what you're communicating, what you're putting down, isn't that a loss of control in that situation?
It's actually, I think it's an opportunity for you to control the circles you remain in. Yes, I fully agree that you cannot control other people's behaviors and actions, but you can fully control the rooms you enter, the people you allow into your life, the access that they have to you. And that's an opportunity for you to set boundaries and be disciplined and remove yourself from that situation. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking at it as, oh, I can't control what other people do, I look at it as, oh, that's an opportunity for me to show myself my own strength. And
you know, turkeys and geese are communicating all the time.
What?
Baba, a bit more explanation.
Turkeys and geese are communicating all the time.
Do they communicate?
Yes, they're okay. Producing noise. They're communicating.
Okay.
But most of us fall in that trap. We communicate like turkeys and geese. No comprehension.
So with turkeys and geese, they literally can't comprehend each other? Is that what you're saying?
They send messages.
They do.
But there is no comprehension.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, but so that's what I'm saying. Do you think it? I think personally, it's reached a point where it's a deliberate form of refusing to communicate and comprehend.
It's an insult to one's brain to communicate with people who does not have comprehension.
Yes. Also, stop talking to people who refuse to understand or value what you say. It is an insult. I fully agree.
And that's where the power of the no comes. Just no.
Yeah.
Because regardless of how much the person in front of you lack comprehension, he understands no.
Yeah, like I look at my little Jaggery Doo, and if I just say no, she's 47 days old, my little kitten, my little brown baby. If I just go no, she'll look at me, but she gets it.
She understands,
know? Yeah. Romulus, he's a little dictator, that one. And he can do whatever, but the second I could say anything, stop, he doesn't get it. If I say no, he just gets it. So if little kittens can understand it, grown-ass people, believe me, they know what the word no means.
Fair enough.
And whenever there is communication, there has to be gaps of silence, and where somebody talks and the other actually listens. And you could sense that there is a pondering and reflection on what's being said. Otherwise, it turns into a turkey communication. You throw a sentence, I throw one, and we just keep on shooting at each other
like firecrackers.
Yes,
I agree.
Yes. And nobody.
Not to reference Jordan Peterson.
Oh, please reference him.
I used to love him, but after his stance on Palestine, I refuse to acknowledge him. That being said, I do like George Janko. Remember, I mentioned this last time. He's a Christian podcaster. And I love watching his journey. It's been very, very interesting. And he's done a great podcast series so far. And then he had Jordan Peterson on, and he completely fumbled just in the way that he was communicating. That's a different story. So I just watched a clip from that podcast series, and they were talking about, can a wife or a husband win an argument with his wife or his or her husband? And yeah, so he said something really interesting, and he said, why would you want to? So I'm going to pause that and come back to it. I had recently experienced where I was having a verbal disagreement with someone. We were in a discussion and we were completely disagreeing. That being said, I have to preface this by saying I am the stronger communicator. I have a way with my words where I can, you know, shut someone down immediately, or they'll be just like, and not know what to say. And obviously, I try to be self-aware enough where I know that can get to my head, and I can be a little egotistical and know that I'm about to win this argument, which is a horrible way to be sometimes. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes you have to be cautious. And before even watching that podcast, I, being self-aware and trying to always better myself, I took a step back and I was like, try to help her win this one. She has words. She's just not being able to put them together. Help her win her argument. So I helped her win her argument in some ways where I gave her the words she could not find. All right. Mm-hmm. So back to that George Janko podcast. And he said, sometimes one person will be better with words, and most likely they will win the argument even when they are wrong at times, because you're better with words. It's easier, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, help your partner find their words, because maybe they have a point. So that's what, and before even watching that, I took a step back and I was like, maybe maybe she has a point. Maybe there's really something she's trying to say that I'm completely disregarding because I'm still human. I still have an ego. And subhanAllah, I saw it in that podcast.
And that's where communication, concept of communication collapses, is when the other party does not have an interest in your point. Just has an interest in winning. Watch it. Most of the time, people have no interest in your point.
You know when you know? It's when you see they have their answer ready before you finished your sentence.
Yeah.
And I see it all the time because I've fall victim to it and I've been the person to do so.
My advice always is to allow the other person to win. Give him the pleasure of thinking that he...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But wouldn't that give that person unrequited power?
Oh, yeah, it's going to hang him someday.
But again, power over who and what? If you, this is where I say this all the time, but I'll be very disciplined and strict and don't get it confused. They don't have the power unless you give it to them. If you remove yourself from their lives and they don't have access to you, power over who?
They have the delusion of power.
The delusion of power. And they can go hit their head against these four walls. Until the end of days, they can't have access to you. They have no power over you. They might feel like huffed and puffed and ha, I showed her I won that argument. But you're gone. You're moving on, doing better. And they're just, like my dad said, in that delusion of I showed her I won that argument. Who cares? Who cares?
Fair enough. I like how these sessions turn into therapy sessions for me.
I think the art of no falls into a lot of different things because it falls into, no can be so many things. So I don't just take it into the external, literally, verbally saying no to someone. I think in your case, like what you were saying about unrequited power, that internal no of just sitting between you and yourself and saying no. They won't have access to me anymore. No, I won't be in these circles anymore. No, I refuse to expose myself to such abuse anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Fair.
It is important to know your list of no's before you know your list of yes.
Your deal breakers matter more than anything.
I love that.
Before people lose their minds, I'm not talking about relationship deal breakers.
Mm.
I'm talking about your internal deal breakers. You'll allow to have access into your life and what you wouldn't in terms of anything, in terms of the way people treat you, in terms of what you spend your time on. Because some people, they'll scroll on TikTok or Instagram all day long. You know, that to me is a deal breaker between myself and I. Absolutely not. You will not waste hours of your day mindlessly scrolling through an app. You know what I mean? So it's those kinds of deal breakers.
Fair enough. So then... Okay, now coming back to saying no, right? Sometimes saying yes does help people. Remember we were talking about this.
Drowning yourself to save someone else, yeah.
Yeah, drowning yourself to save somebody else. But even then, how do you assess the consequences to any action that you were saying yes or no to?
I think it goes back to the gut feeling video we did. You know, subhanAllah, I was watching yesterday. I don't remember what the video was, but I went through the comments and there were doctors in the comments going like, I trust my gut feeling sometimes more than my actual medical training and it saved lives countless times. I will never ignore my gut feeling. And we explained this in a video before. Your gut feeling is that first thought that you have that comes with extreme clarity. Yes? No, it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that comes after. So for example, in this situation, you could have immediately known no, right? Yeah. But then machine gun thoughts. Haram, maybe it'll help them. Don't be a bitch. Be nice. Be agreeable. Like, you know, don't project your insecurities on someone else. Oh, they're just asking for a small favor, you know? And then all those little trickly, prickly thoughts come and convince you to do the absolute opposite of what your gut feeling told you without a shadow of a doubt.
Fair.
So I think that's how you assess.
See, the no should start with the list of no's you put on yourself. What is it that you do not allow yourself? What is it that you must say no to yourself with? It's a long list, by the way.
Yeah.
And if you master this, it becomes easier to you to say no to the outer circle around you. And this no is not just a negation of approaches or negation of communication or negation of gift and bliss. It is actually a resorting and arrangement of priorities in your life.
I love that.
It's reminding me, I'm just going to add to it a little bit of, I think I mentioned this last time, that quote that I saw on Instagram. Don't allow your loyalty to keep you in situations your common sense would have gotten you out of a long time ago.
That's slavery, not loyalty.
People, again, yeah. I've talked about this. People, it's the masked virtue of they convince themselves that it's loyalty. But in people's minds, it's loyalty. I'm being loyal, or I'm being a good friend, or I'm being, so whatever. Loyalty masked as, or sorry, slavery, all of those things masked as loyalty. It doesn't matter. People tell themselves, oh, it's just that I'm loyal. Please, you know? But that's a really good one, because if you think about it, your common sense needs to be objective. It has nothing to do with your feelings, and it has nothing to do with the other person's feelings, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and the best way I view it is, I always ask, if someone came to me with this situation, it's the situation I'm going through, I'll think, if Neetu came to me and said, واحد اثنين ثلاثة is what I'm going through, I'd literally look at her like, what are you doing? You know better. I know you know better. You know, so when I say it like that, objectively, I look at myself, and what excuse do you have to give to yourself? What? You're weak, you're loyal, you're kind, you're nice. What does that mean? What does it mean? Honestly, I really want someone to break this down for me. What does it mean when you are nice to everyone and their mother, but not to yourself?
Then you're not nice.
I just don't understand the point.
Yeah.
You know, this whole act of self-sacrificing to make other people happy and not being able to say no to them. But effectively, you are saying no to kindness to yourself. You are saying no to self-discipline to yourself. You are saying no to boundaries to yourself.
You know how important it is to say no and continuously to children?
Oh, we talked about this last time. Yeah. Last time.
No to say... Say no to children?
Yeah.
All yeah, we said this. Yeah, of course. We talked about it, yeah.
No. And that's, it teaches them boundaries. It keeps them away from harm. It reinforces morals, reinforces resilience. If it's that beneficial to children, then it's beneficial to the rest of society, actually.
People will walk all over you if you don't say no to them.
Yeah.
They will walk all over you, because it is human nature. And this is where I get very specific with it, especially when I see a lot of those comments come in, and I'll know they have absolute zero, no self-awareness whatsoever. Because the example that I gave now, when I was having an argument with a friend, before I even watched the George Janko and Jordan Peterson podcast, I really had that aha moment of maybe help her find her words, you know? And because I clocked myself on, yo, I'm not a saint, I have an ego, I can absolutely misbehave. Of course, of course. And a lot of people, yeah, subhanAllah, and my dad and I talk about this all the time. If I ever do a video like the one about the villain, everyone relates. Everyone relates that they've been done dirty. And everyone relates that they've been trampled all over. And everyone relates that they've been abused by a narcissist. But no one relates to ever being the narcissist themselves. No one. But guess what? Every single one of you has been a narcissist at some point in time. It is an impossibility. How else do you learn? You have wronged people. Mm-hmm. You must have. It is impossible not to. But then everyone sits on their high horse of, no, I've been on the inflicted end of it. Never on the inflicting end. Bupkis. No way. I'm calling bullshit right now. It's just an impossibility. So what I wanted to say was, wait, we were saying something. What was the point of this? There was a point.
Wow, we really got into it.
Daddy, there was a point. Bismillah. Ah, people will walk all over you, right? So honestly, think about it. If you had someone in your life who never said no, who always did whatever you wanted, who, you know, غصبن عنك, it means it's almost in spite of you, you kind of take them for granted. That's why we set boundaries, because it's human. You can't possibly tell me, and I know people will say this, that, no, I would never take advantage. Not me. Not I. No, but you would, because it's human nature, and you are not the exception to human nature.
Any seasoned man will tell you the shortest way to lose a woman is to say yes to her all the time.
And you shouldn't.
Yes to whom? What did you say?
Yes to her.
Oh.
He said any seasoned man will tell you the best, the fastest way. I don't remember what he said. To lose a woman is to say yes to her all the time. You shouldn't just say yes to a woman all the time. Yeah. And you shouldn't say yes to a man all the time.
And to children. That's if you want to ruin a woman, or just say yes to her.
Or to your colleagues, or to your employees, or to your friends. Ma fi ishi ismo. There is no such thing as yes all the time.
Mm. Most of the time, even. Even most of the time, you will lose.
Yeah.
Okay, but then let's figure out this. There are people who have within their circles, just people who are emotionally abusive, right?
Okay.
Now it could be anybody. It could be your mother. They wouldn't even know
your best friend. Your whatever.
Anybody.
Yeah.
They could be like, they wouldn't even know they're being emotionally abusive.
Okay.
Right.
The person abusing isn't aware that they're being abusive.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing. Because think about it. Like, now let's say it come. A
they
very
are always aware of it.
Thank you. You saw the smile on my face. I was like, I'm gonna let her finish.
Let me say this, right? Now it comes down to like a simple example. Like if I'm gonna do something and my mom asks me to do something else, I'm like, no, I will have task one to do, and then I'll get to task two, and then my mom's gonna say something like, oh, it's because you don't really care or love or do this. And I'm just like, why are you bringing that into the situation?
Okay.
Like, I'm currently focused on task A. Task B is not, like, but like, and then when I call her out on it, she'll be like, no, I wasn't, I was being da-da-da-da-da. But like, you get what I'm trying to say?
Okay, but I just so I fully understand what you're saying the art of saying no is in the sense that you told her, no, I'm going to finish task number one and then get to what you asked me to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's still saying yes, I guess, but it's a longer way. But it's
no,
just...
it's fine. It's a very respectful yes, but it's I'm going to finish what I have in my hand right now and then I'm going to get to what you asked of me, especially if it's not urgent or life or death.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm
going
to let my dad take this one.
The most subtle manipulation is the one that happens between parents and their children.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it all the time. I watched it in my family. I watched it in other families. And let me tell you, I could say women can be very manipulative with their children, but in reality, even fathers can be very manipulative with their children. It's just that women have a very unique, exquisite way of doing it. And it's always the guilt trapping.
I was about to say the emotional manipulation. We're great at it. We're so good at it. Emotional blackmail.
Yeah.
I really, this year, even though how much I've seen from women, this year specifically, I have seen how powerful women are with emotionally blackmailing people.
And they should be. You are very emotional creatures. That's part of your arsenal. That's part of what you've been equipped with.
But why abuse that power?
That's not the question you should ask. The question is how to deal with those who abuse, because the abuse will happen all the time.
Exactly. Oh. And like you said, you can't control what they do, even if it is your own mother. You can't.
See, one of the things I taught my children, especially Layla, don't waste time trying to change people to fit your narrative. Be aware of what people do and maintain your narrative. It's easy. It's easy when you see a hole, you need to maneuver around it and not just drive into it. But you don't just stop there and try to fix the hole and cement it and flatten it and move to the next. You cannot do that. You might do it once or twice because the hole is just in front of your door. But you cannot do that on general, on a universal
every
scale.
Every hole that you see, yeah.
You need to recognize a hole when you see one, that's all.
Absolutely. I'll add to that. Bismillah, what did I want to say? The number one way to absolutely lose yourself, especially when it comes to your same-sex parent and that dynamic, is to have an emotional attachment to the abuse and trauma that they have imposed upon you. You immediately become them in the future. If you have an emotional attachment to the trauma that your parents have put you through, it is inevitable. You will lock yourself in a cycle and you will become them.
And that's exactly what I used to tell you when you were young.
Do you hear what she just said? It's her worst fear.
Don't let the cycle close.
Exactly. Did you hear what she just said? It is her worst fear. And that's, of course it is, because we all have that. I'm going to say it without exception. Truly, most people have a... I'm not going to say we all. There's some people have great parents. Most people have this fear of my fear is to turn into my mother or my fear is to turn into my father, right? And the people who usually have that fear, and you can see it in their eyes and you can see it in the way they behave and you can see it in the way the dynamic is between them and that parent, 9 times out of 10, they turn into that parent.
The more you hate your parents, the more you criticize them, the more you blame them, the more you become them.
The more you react to what they do as well, add that.
The more you react to what they do, the more you become them.
Yes.
It's when you get this separation.
That's why I said emotional attachment. I use that word very specifically because everything you said had to do with absolutely. Being emotionally attached to it.
Absolutely. But by saying no, you create this detachment.
Mm-hmm.
By saying no and not reacting to their reaction of yes. your no, just say no.
Oh, and not before saying no to them out loud, say no inside of no, I just khalas, I will separate. That is a human. I am a human, and I'm separating her actions from my worth, my value, because I think it has a lot, especially with mothers and daughters. Yeah. It has a lot to do with self-worth and self-value and self-love.
Yeah.
So you need to separate, because we talked about this last time, from garnering your self-worth and validation from your self-worth and love from external validation. That includes your parents.
Fair.
And for God's sake, stop trying to change everybody, especially those around you. Change yourself. That's it.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna reference Jordan Peterson again. He's getting a lot of, not that he needs my shout outs, but he was doing a show in Australia, I believe it was, and there was a live audience and people were vicious with him. Vicious. And there was a girl in the audience, and I'm not politically correct, so I'm just gonna say it. She was fat and ugly and she looked angry and she looked very miserable and unhappy. Like, I can't imagine being seated even next to her in that audience. That's how it translated over the footage. And I believe the context of the video was he was saying something along the lines of, stop attaching your life to causes like global warming. He said different types of causes. Stop attaching your entire life to these causes. If everyone did the internal work of, like he said, stop trying to, you said fix other people, fix yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone did that, no one would need to be fixed. So there wouldn't be any problems. There wouldn't be any issues. There wouldn't be any traumas and abuses and all of wars and all of those things. Mm. And she should have seen her. She was so angry. And no, and she was like, if she could, wallahi, if it was the purge, she would have gotten up and killed him. If she could, like, you could see death in her eyes. Mm. But I agree with what he said. Stop trying externally. If this was applied, think about it. Honestly, take a minute and think about it. If this was applied to every soul in the world, where enough of external fixing and just fix what is inside, internal Bob the Builder, no one would need fixing.
See that which triggers you, and for sure, you have it within you.
So if I was triggered by this Australian fat fuck, I'm going to cut this out.
Then you must have something in common with her. I mean,
well, I wasn't triggered. I think I saw her for what she was.
That's different.
Yeah.
Okay, but then again, now let's get into this. If you know that you need to look inwards, and that's the only thing you can control, and that's the only thing you can fix, how do you know where to begin without seeking? Some people need external help to just begin to search within.
Don't complicate this.
I agree with what she said. I understand the external help because there's a lot, and I came to you once with this. I've done everything I could. This last thing, no matter how much I've tackled it, molded it, bent it, tried, came from this angle, that angle, up, down, I could not shake it off of me.
Hmm.
And I seeked external help once, fixed it, moved on as a better version of myself. External help is okay. The kind of external help and for how long. So again, we're going to go into therapy. But to me, I would rather have a mentor like my father or one of my Sufi sheikhs who just gives it to me straight and I move on about my day. So the kind of external help that you look for makes the world of a difference. Because remember the example I gave of my ex-friend who was seeing a therapist because she's extremely introverted, ADHD, social anxiety, and all her therapist told her was, oh, you're going to have anxiety until the day you die. We're just going to learn to live with it. What? You know, I would rather, like, that's that therapist should be stripped of her license and put on an electric chair, jail time.
Don't say that. They will all be angry with you.
Oh, they can be angry, Dad. I don't care.
No, I mean, like, there are two sides to this coin. I
resolved
it
between myself after that Hikmat video. I've resolved it, truly. Y'all can say whatever you want.
I've been sarcastic.
You can say, I cannot, you know why? I'm actually going to take the time to say this. I would rather, truly, with my God, go through the darkest of times in the most graceful of ways, then aspire to the delusional, impossible dream of always being happy or always being validated. I would put me through hell, but I know I have God with me. I'll take that any day. But do not give me the delusional dream of I just want to be happy or validate my feelings. I'm so traumatized. I get triggered. Never. Never. Give me God any day of the week.
Fair. But then again, like, see, for me personally, I think the approach to, like, since you mentioned therapy, the approach to therapy was a little bit more different. Because having studied psychology and having done that...
Do you know the history of psychology?
I don't remember it. But it started from philosophy and then it came...
If you knew it, you'd remember it. Do you know how Sigmund Freud came about? Yeah. Do you know why he started looking into therapy and how people's minds works? Do you know why?
Not really.
Because his best friends were pedophiles. And he was trying to justify why they behave the way they do. Not find a solution or a cure, justify. If you know the history of psychology, and that's why I get so angry about it.
This you cannot.
Okay, I will cut it. But this is why I get so angry about it, because people throw it all over. But if you knew the history the way I do, you would never agree to it. You would never.
Yes.
You know, but then again, see, what I'm trying to come to is the fact that there have been good and bad cases.
Of what?
Of successfully being therapized.
What's successful to you?
Of being able to move on from... Okay, now let's say I was a victim, and then it switched to me being blamed for the situation and then crumbling into myself to just help change that narrative.
Okay, listen, long story short, if it does help break those chains of being a victim and enslaved to a trauma or whatever, and equips you to take back control of that narrative and set you out into the wild, wild west to be the best version of yourself, and you don't need to go back every Wednesday for an hour to cry... Hell yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Very few successful cases, I'm with you. Okay? Only those.
Only those.
But only in cases...
I get what you're saying. I get where you're coming from.
But only in cases of extreme trauma. Why I stand by what I said is most people go to therapy now because, my exams took an emotional toll on me. I can't sleep. Oh, my boss was too mean to me and I cried, and I can't wake up anymore to go to work, so now I see a therapist once a week. Bro.
This over-faked vulnerability.
Bro, life is tough. Get it done. You're not the first person to have a crappy boss, and you're not the last.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
This is where what you said kind of rings in my head. Like, if God didn't think you had the power to deal with what you have, like, you know, what you've been through, I forgot the ending.
لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. God does not give a soul more than it can bear. So everything you've been through, God gave you all the tools you need to get through that. Not only get through it barely within an inch of your life, truly, if you choose to look at it that way, if you choose to tap into it, get through it with the most grace, love, positivity, and blessings you could not even dream of. I have to emphasize this.
Yes.
No, why is it in... such cultures that survival is a major issue, like the natives in many of those places in Africa or so, the hunters, and there is nothing called psychological issues, there is nothing called depression, there is nothing called, because your survival is being challenged on a daily basis. It's actually a sign of luxury. It's actually a sign of...
It's very privileged.
Yeah, it's a privileged state of societies that produces such...
Can I go off on that? I was having dinner with my friend, one of my really, really good friends, Ranwa. A few days after my birthday, she took me out to dinner. We went to Mama Ish. Shout out to my Palestinian businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting. I love Mama Ish. So we were sitting and having dinner, and we were talking, and we really went deep into a lot of topics, kind of like this. And we referenced that video and that state of privilege, how people react. And no, we're not dalu'in. Oh, says the dalu'a fighting in a comment section. Make it make sense. Make it make sense, but okay. Anyway, she was saying that there was a time where, so Ran was very into cycling and hiking, and she's very active like that. And she was, if I don't want to butcher this, cycling from Vietnam to Cambodia or Cambodia to Vietnam. And obviously they go through all the different parts of, and it's not the five-star hotel parts. Like, she's not cycling through the Four Seasons, right? And she said they were cycling at some point, and she saw a bunch of kids playing with what seemed to be just stalls or stools made out of bamboo or wood or something of the sort. And they're playing in the mud and they're smiling from ear to ear. Mind you, these are people that are in rags. They're in some of the poorest areas of these places. And she said you could see the termites and insects crawling over them. But they were just happy and free, just happy. So but please just take a minute to process what I just said. The people losing their minds in my comments, you don't think it's privileged? You don't think it's privileged that you get to cry to a therapist once a week when there are people that are literally dying? You don't think it's privileged? I think
it's about really broadening your perspective. What you're trying, like...
No, it's about humbling yourself. Can I be honest? Humble yourself. I'm not going to be nice about it. Humble yourself. Okay. There are people that are dying. Mm. There are people that do not have $2 a month to survive off of the family. There are people that literally starve to death. And you have the audacity to sit here and say, oh, we're not spoiled. We just are emotionally aware. No, you're not.
Mm.
No, yeah. Who are you lying to? Honestly, at this point, I'm going to answer my question. You're lying to yourself, and I have... No problem with that. You can go sit and lie to yourself. Go do that. It's ridiculous. Fair. That they want to fight me over the fact that you're dalu'in. في ناس عم بتموت. There are people that are dying. And then you have the audacity to fight me over a therapist that you see once a week because something triggered you. And of course, people go into the extreme cases of, but people who were traumatized and abused. And I stand by what I said. If your trauma and your abuse does not make you a better version of yourself, if you cannot take it and harness it and turn it into something good, and like my father said, an arsenal to help you not only be better in this world, but master this world because you understand human psychology at a different level, then what's the point?
Then I agree.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Do you know that children that are exposed to severe trauma and children that are exposed to abundance of
luxury, spoiled, privilege,
they almost react the same way and have the same mental, psychological...
It's true.
Because abundance and spoiling is a trauma.
It is. My tummy is rumbling.
So where is the healthy state of existence?
Wait, Baba, explain that. How is abundance trauma?
Oh, baby girl. Spoiled people. People who never have to work a day in their life.
Okay, but... Yeah. Okay.
He's talking about the two... He said two extremes. The extremely spoiled golden spoon in their mouth. Then the extremely traumatized and abused and so the two opposite ends of it, like the extremes.
Okay, fair. Yeah, okay.
One of the worst traumas you can inflict on a child is overspoiling.
Of course.
Yeah, fair.
And you don't have to be that rich or extremely rich spoil a child.
Absolutely.
You just have to say yes to him, whatever he does. To create a monster out of a child, just
yes, I will add, though, being extremely rich would make that
would
even
make
worse.
It
exacerbates it. Because you can say yes to your child all the time, but not have the funds to necessarily bestow upon them everything that they want. But then you can be really rich and literally give them everything they ask for.
And those then you just traumatize them for life.
Yeah.
So where is the soft point? Where is the sweet spot? The sweet spot is trauma is an essential part of our life. We need it the way we need those moments and episodes and times where we get pampered and spoiled. We need both.
This is what I said in my video. I said, "ما في حدا ما شاف نجوم الليل بعز الظهر." It's a saying in Arabic, which basically means there isn't anyone who hasn't seen hard times or bad days or traumas. Trauma and trauma بفرق. I'm with you. Traumas differ. Mine could be worse than yours. Yours could be worse than mine. Whatever, right? That being said, this is why I stand by what I said, because it remains true despite your level of trauma and despite your emotional attachment to it. Because how come there are extreme abuse victims who have survived and come off better than they ever could have? They took it, like I said, and harnessed it and turned it into something beautiful. And then there are some who become drug addicts or commit suicide or there is a reason for that, and it's what they choose to do with it. And before people actually come for me, I really don't care. I was saying they can't control it. Absolutely not. And this is where we are fundamentally different. You can control anything with your mind. When it comes to your mind, you have the power to change anything, to change the lens from which you view it, to change how it affects you. It is absolutely 1,000% within your control. Does it take time? Yes,
it does.
Is it painful? Yes. Does it almost feel like you are stripping yourself naked? Yes. But guess what? It's still possible. I rest my case.
You have an ayah says, "Inna ma'al usri yusra."
Yeah. With every hardship comes ease.
Yes, and that's the duality of life. So trauma, abuse, whatever, bad parents, bad partners, bad working.
Colleagues,
or anything. Whatever. It's part of the usr.
Yeah.
And the usr is those
faraj.
The faraj that come and do.
If people really understood what in the ma'al usri yusra meant, I swear they would be ashamed.
Would it translate that?
In the ma'al usri yusra means with every hardship comes ease.
Okay.
And if people truly, truly, truly understood what that meant, they would be ashamed to ever doubt what God has put them through. They would embrace hardships with all the love, because it's the yusur that is divine. It's God's yusur that's coming. So he promised you with every hardship there is ease. So it's his ease that's coming to you. And if you really understood what that meant, you would embrace hardship, because you know his ease is coming right after it. So no, I do not have empathy or sympathy to the people losing their minds in the comments. I don't. I actually pity you. I feel sorry for you, because you don't understand the value of what God is putting you through.
Then again, it's like, now I'm just picking out a few from the crowd of the people in the comments, right?
Oh, go for it. My favorite part. Are we addressing comments?
We're talking about those who have severe victim mindset.
Yes, okay.
Yeah? Now, they're going to sit and think that their hardships are forever. They're not like seeing greener pastures. Okay. And then they start like sitting and blaming, and then, you know, they blame the causes. They want to find reason. They think everything is out of their control. All of this, they shrivel.
Okay.
And what comes out is something that is just so hateful. And then they think that they might be better to just speak up. But then again, it's just like this alternative perspective of your, it's not a better perspective, it's just slightly worse than what you,
their perspective,
yeah,
or
their no, their perspective, right? But see, when people come at you at the comments, like, it's, I think some of it is just their own insecurities just manifesting,
of course.
So it is,
of course,
right? And all of that is also, some of them are proper victims who feel like, you know, what you're saying actually is beneficial, but then there are some people who are getting triggered, and then they want to sit there and call themselves victims.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what do you mean? Make it make sense to me. Like, there are people who are actually out there. So now the people who want to make themselves victims based on the things that you're saying, because they might, like, just because they took offense.
Okay.
Right? Now we're talking about like their intelligence, everything, their comprehensions, everything.
Okay.
Let's pick out the women who do this, right?
Okay.
Now, remember you talked about, so in the I forgot the guy's name already, but in the audience there was this fat and, you said,
yeah,
fat,
yeah,
and ugly
Jordan
chick.
Peterson, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This fat and ugly woman. Now let's say
she could actually be really cute, but she just really looked ugly in that moment. She uglified herself with the energy that she had
on her.
Yes.
Right? Now, if You're saying that to clear, you're saying that now, but if that part of the video just went out.
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah, but that here's my point. People are going to come at you regardless because they're like, you're fat shaming, this, that, you're not body positive, this, that.
I don't care. Yeah. I cannot explain to you how much I don't care. Because you know what? The best thing my mother did for me when I gained 15 kilos was look at me and go like, I don't like fat people, lose weight. It's the best thing she did for me.
You know, I'm fat.
My dad is fat. He's obese.
And I've never found an excuse for it. It's a state that needs to be handled. It's not a welcomed state of existence. Mm. And it's not a normal state of existence. Mm. It's abnormal.
The 15 kilos that I gained, and it took me years to shed it, it affected me psychologically. Mm. I was depressed. My knees hurt. I couldn't walk without feeling out of breath. Mm. My sleep was disturbed. The way I ate was horrible. It affected every single aspect of my life. And then you want me to turn around and validate that?
At least.
Am I crazy? Have I lost my mind?
Wrong.
Mm. Call maybe, wrong.
Maybe you cannot overcome it at this moment, fine and well. But in your mind and in your heart, it's a clear wrong.
Mm. Now, I read an article. And it said something about there's the obese gene, and there are some people that even if they lose weight, and this is something my dad struggled with, that it fluctuates. And I still told myself, no, because you cannot convince me that being of a certain size, and I'm talking especially the, what the fuck is body positive? I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, I just heard what you said. Babe, those Western terminologies, don't bring them in my podcast. They have no place here. I don't care about body positivity. That means that's validation. That's what you're. We have to validate everyone and their mother under the sun. Not on this show. Never. I will go to my grave not validating everyone because I don't want to be validated. Don't validate me. If you know, even my dad, when I was wearing really baggy pants and a baggy hoodie after I had recently gained the weight, and I went and I knew I gained weight, and I went to him and I was like, "Do I look okay?" And he looked at me with the bitchiest look. I'm sorry, Dad. And he just went, almost good enough to hide the obesity.
Baba.
But honestly, good on you. Good on you. Why would he validate that I'm... Why? Mm. Babe, honestly, let's say he was body positive, baby girl, and it's okay, you just gained 15 kilos. You look cute as a little thimble, okay? What does that do for me?
Absolutely nothing.
No, not nothing. Causes harm.
Fair. Yeah.
I gained the weight because I was depressed and I was going through a hard time.
Mm.
And I had no self-control and I had no mental discipline. And you want him to come validate that? That's insanity. That's madness. A little, what do they call it?
Insider? Insert?
No. Insert trigger warning or that thing, okay? This has nothing to do with people, for example, who have lupus or physical issues that cause weight gain, like thyroid and whatever. Not talking about y'all.
Mm.
Okay?
Well.
No, don't go into something I have to cut out. You waste my time. I pay money for this.
The way you just came back. Okay.
To validate it is wrong. Mm. And to go after those who have it and attack them and abuse them and make them feel bad is also wrong. It's just it's just do not call it normal.
Yes. Mm. So I'm not gonna go in the street and see someone who's overweight and be like, shame, like that Game of Thrones girly with her bell, Cersei. And just scream shame, like, and throw food at that's not like that's madness. And also that goes against my religion and my morals and my ethics and everything, you know? But if you want to come out, especially on covers of magazines and in my face all the time with pop culture and whatever, and that from the West is very much creeping into this side of the world, and it's, you want me not only to say it's normal, you want me to applaud it, you want me to celebrate it, you know? And here's where أزيدك من الشعر بيت. I want you to truly, honestly, give me an honest answer. Most of those people in the comments saying, yes, brava, girly, you're doing so well, would never willingly step into her body.
You know, absolutely. The thing is,
Never.
This excuse never, that never. It's genetic and this excuse that it's beyond your... Just look into those photos and reels from the 30s and 40s of last century and tell me how many obese people passing
by. It wasn't a thing. It wasn't a thing. It's the food. It's Baba, don't... Please. Daddy, I'm trying to stay in this country. I'm trying to just educate people in a different way. Once they, you know?
It is.
It's the hormones and the food. It's the lifestyles. It's everything. I agree. I agree because there's proof. It's not a subjective agreement. It's an objective, this is such is the case, you know? But they want to tell you all these excuses. Anyway.
But then do you want to like...
So wait, but you're... I'm not going to go into that. But your initial thing was, so that little thing, and if they see the... If you're triggered that I called someone fat, that's your problem. Go settle it بينك وبين حالك بالبيت. Which means resolve it between you and yourself at home.
Fair enough.
If you call someone ugly, why would that trigger me? If you call someone poor, why would that trigger me? If you call someone rich, why would that trigger me? If you call someone beautiful, why would that trigger me? If someone is fat, it has nothing to do with feelings. They're fat. Fair. I'm 164 centimeters. It has nothing to do with my feelings. I'm 164 centimeters. Wait, am I losing my mind? Am I the only... Am I making sense?
No, you are. You are. But I think... It's about, like, different sensitivities of people, right?
Oh, I don't care about people's sensitivities. Yeah. I've made this abundantly clear.
It's actually one of the most overrated concepts.
People's sensitivities? What do you...
Okay, no.
What are you doing? Have you met... Is this the first time you're meeting me?
I'm extending the conversation. I'm adding fuel.
I understand. But that's my point. I don't like to go into these things because my stance is clear. Do not overvalidate. Do not agree with everything because everyone needs to have their safe space. What do you mean? By that logic, serial killers need to have their safe space. Because their trauma led to something. You know, where do you draw the line? They'll tell you, no, the line is drawn. Obviously, we don't mean serial killers. No, but you do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Am I making sense? I feel like I'm the only one right now
who
understands this. Not from you guys, just in general. When I say this, people kind of go like, no, but what?
Because most of those concepts, if not all of them, are created to support bad, not to support...
I agree. And also, I think this circles us back to the art of saying no. Validating everyone and their emotions...
We spoke about this.
But you have to learn to say no. The art of saying no, it falls under so many things. This is how society loses its way. Honestly, this is that we say yes to everything. We say yes to... I read a quote. I actually really want to read this one. I wrote it down. Okay? I think it was a quote by Atticus, and this went viral on Pinterest and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I read it recently after years of not reading it. We drink the poison, our minds pour for us, and wonder why we feel so sick. So we validate...
Say that again, I want to write it down.
Honestly, okay? We drink the poison, our minds pour for us, and wonder why we feel so sick. And I really thought about it for the first time in a very long time. And I think it is the most egotistical thing in the world to validate all of your thoughts, as if you are a god, as if every thought you have has merit and has value and deserve weight. That's insanity.
It is actually
insanity. It is madness. Why would I validate all of your thoughts and feelings, let alone validate all my thoughts and feelings? That's madness. That's throw you in the loony bin. That makes no sense to me. And just look at society. Look at everything that it has bred. We are more lost than we have ever been before. And y'all have the audacity to tell me, no, we're the most self-aware generation. You are the most self-deluded generation that has validated the poison that your mind has poured into you. I rest my case.
I love that.
I rest my case. Because going back to that Ranwa cycling and the termites, when she was saying the story, you could see how humbled she was. You could see the humility in her eyes, in the way she narrated it, in the way she goes about her days now, you know? And then... and then people want to tell me I'm traumatized by my boss. I just... No, I won't validate you. And if you're looking for validation, you're at the wrong podcast.